Lincoln Ocean.
This is CBS News on the Hour.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Kamala Harris is holding on to a 4-point lead over Donald Trump in Wisconsin in the latest Marquette Law School poll. She leads 52% to 48% with both registered and likely voters. The margin of error is 4.4%. In the U.S. Senate race, Tammy Baldwin leads Eric Hovde by 7 points, also with registered and likely voters alike. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is asking people not to burn leaves and brush this week. Brittany Merlot explains why.
There's an increased chance of fire danger this week due to the dry weather, gusty winds, and dry vegetation, all ahead of a strong cold front. Burning brush and leaf piles is the number one cause of wildfires in Wisconsin. I'm Brittany Merlot.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers face elimination tonight. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Brewers will play the Mets today in Game 2 of the best-of-three wildcard round. Yesterday, the Mets defeated the Brewers 8-4, retiring the final 17 batters to take the win. Willie Adames says the Brewers know it's all on the line tonight.
We are on down tech. We're going to come out and give the 100% out there on the field, and, you know, I mean, we got to win or we go home. So the mentality is we got to win no matter what. We got to figure out a way to win and, you know, do our best.
First pitch is after 6:30 p.m. If the Brewers win, they'll play a decisive Game 3 tomorrow evening. The Green Bay Packers will try to bounce back this week as they play the L.A. Rams on Sunday after losing last weekend to the Minnesota Vikings. Kickoff this Sunday against the Rams is after 3 p.m. on Sunday. The Milwaukee Bucks announced their 2024 training camp roster on Monday. Camp begins tomorrow for the Bucks. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Mostly sunny today, our high right around 71 this afternoon. The wind out of the north to northeast at 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy, will drop to 56. Tomorrow, sunshine 68. And on Saturday, mostly sunny with a high of 73. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
the back seat. Check the back seat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the back seat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. So get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Thursday morning, and I've still got a voice. Welcome in, everybody. It is the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke right here on the Midwest Farm Report. Yep, we're in the home stretch now of World Dairy Expo at the Alliant Energy Center grounds here in Madison. It's been a wonderful show, and a lot of that is because of the weather. It does look like the weather is going to continue to be absolutely gorgeous today. Looking for a daytime high right around 74. Little bit of a breeze. Then tonight into Friday morning, there's a chance we could see some rain showers. We'll find out what the odds are when Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, joins us. May not be much more than a sprinkle. We'll have to wait until the weekend before we can see maybe measurable rain. Friday's highs expected to be around 68, so a little on the chilly side. Sunny on Saturday, 76, but then Saturday night into Sunday, that's when the rain possibilities seem to increase. We'll talk weather with Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist. World Dairy Expo, it's not only about dairy cattle, it's also about a lot of visitors. So this week we got a chance to visit with some of the folks that were impacted by Hurricane Helene in the south and southeast. We're going to find out about the agriculture damage that they witnessed. We're also catching up with Bryce Windicker, a dairy farmer in New York State and a member of the EverAg crew, to find out what he's seeing develop in the marketplace. So a lot of different topics we'll focus on. Come along for the ride.
Corn rootworm is a ruthless pest, which is why Bayer is relentless in its innovation. SmartStax Pro with RNAi technology is here. With an RNAi-based mode of action unlike anything that's come before, plus two proven BT traits, it's innovation that equals the strongest biotech defense in medium to high corn rootworm pressure environments from Bayer. Talk to your seed dealer about defending like a pro with SmartStax Pro technology. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices. Copyright 2024 Bayer Group. All rights reserved.
Dairy Girl Network invites all dairy women to join them at their biannual conference in Kansas City. The Forward Together Conference is November 5th through 7th and features 25 speakers with breakout sessions and time to connect with fellow farm women. The conference also has a trade show, shopping, and photo headshots. For full details and to register, visit dairygirlnetwork.com. Registration deadline is October 8th.
Fire up the grills, gather around the table, and build a bigger appetite for pork. Celebrate National Pork Month by making pork the MVP of your tailgate. Every bite of pork you and your family enjoys comes from farmers who take pride in raising a wholesome, high-quality product. Learn more about how farmers are committed to raising animals the right way by visiting WPPA.org. While you're there, check out recipes and where you can source local pork. Brought to you by Wisconsin's Pig Farmers.
What is it like having a hurricane hit your farm? In Wisconsin, we wouldn't know. Imagine floods so big it displaces your cattle. Imagine your crop leveled just as you were about to harvest. That's the story we're hearing from North and South Carolina. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. Sean Harding is the president of North Carolina Farm Bureau. North Carolina was one of the states hit by Hurricane Helene, where crops and livestock were among the storm's victims. Sean's strawberry farm was not hit by the hurricane, but he has been fielding calls from his members around the state who need help rebuilding.
Yes, so our farm's in the east. Strangely enough, this hurricane is not an eastern storm. When we have these Gulf storms, they come straight up the country, and that's when it clips the western part of North Carolina, and that's what happened here. Just torrential rain in a mountainous terrain, that water has to go somewhere, and so that's where the flash floods that we've been seeing have happened, yeah.
What have you heard about the damage specifically to agriculture?
You know, it's still too early to know, to agriculture. Quite frankly, we're still in a process of search and rescue, of trying to find people, and just trying to make sure everybody's okay. Obviously, we know there's going to be tremendous agriculture damage from this storm. You know, a lot of the farming in that mountainous area is in the river bottoms. And so those river bottoms have flooded, corn's gone, vegetables, crops, so a lot of damage, yeah.
What does North Carolina agriculture look like? Is dairy a part of that? Do you have animal agriculture?
Animal agriculture is a big part of North Carolina agriculture. Now, obviously, on the coast, we have more of our hog farms, but as you move into the middle part of our state, we call it the Piedmont, is where our dairy operations are. And then in the western part of the state, we have quite a few dairies. We actually know of dairy cows that were swept up in water and have, you know, dairy farmers are trying to find their cows later on and make sure they were okay. So this is the kind of stories we're hearing up in the mountains, and just heartbreaking, really.
How does a state farmer respond? What is your mode of action after a storm like that comes through?
Yeah, great question. And I guess I would say, unfortunately, we've been through this before, and so we have pretty much know what to do in these situations. We have a foundation that's set up. We immediately open up that foundation for people who just want to give money and don't know what else to do. And we make sure that money goes to help farmers survive after these storms. We also partner with groups that are boots on the ground. So your Samaritan's Purse is in Boone, actually, where a lot of the damage was. And so they're helping people. Red Cross, that everybody thinks about. And then we have a group in our state called Baptist on Mission. And so we've helped partner with them to get equipment that they need, whether it's chainsaws or excavators, to clean up farms and to be boots on the ground. And that's really our role.
Do you see things in policy like emergency relief dollars that come from USDA?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think we have a strong Department of Agriculture. One of the things that we are really proud of in North Carolina is our partnerships. And so we're working with the Department of Ag, has an emergency agriculture response number set up for farmers that they can call. And just all of our partners have to work together in these kind of storms to help people get through it. And certainly there'll be a federal response, I think, as well.
I want to underscore to consumers why it's important when there is a disaster that impacts a dairy farm, that impacts a crop farm. Why does it matter to them that there's relief out there?
We all appreciate the availability of food in our country, but that doesn't come without hard work from farmers and these farms surviving. And quite frankly, we're worried about our farmers. It's been a tough time in agriculture here recently, just from an economic standpoint. And then you throw the weather in there that none of us can control and these kind of storms. And so if we lose one dairy, if we lose 10 dairies, that's just going to cause us to have to make some hard choices as consumers. Are we going to get our milk from another country? Where's our milk going to come from? And so it's just so important that we support agriculture.
Sean Harding, along with us, president of the North Carolina Farm Bureau. Next door in South Carolina, Farm Bureau President Harry Ott saw Hurricane Helene's fury firsthand on his family's crop farm, and he estimates the state's agriculture industry will lose millions of dollars during a year that's already been hard for farmers.
We are located about 35 miles south of Columbia, right in the middle of the state, going toward Charleston, South Carolina. Everybody knows what Columbia is. Everybody knows what Charleston. We're a little town, little ag community. My brother and I farm a little over 2,000 acres of cotton, corn, and soybeans. My farm actually was right at the beginning of where the storm came into South Carolina. We got probably about 12 inches of rain, and we had intermittent wind gusts of 60 to 80 miles an hour over a two-hour period of time.
Do you have an idea of the destruction to South Carolina agriculture that Hurricane Helene put forth?
Well, I will tell you that the cotton crop probably sustained the worst damage. We were right at the beginning of cotton harvest, which means it had all opened and was ready to be picked. That doesn't bode well for wind and rain. Those that hadn't completed their corn harvest, that corn will be flat on the ground now, so it will not get harvested. We were beginning peanut harvest. I think the peanuts that were already turned upside down, inverted, ready for harvest will probably be okay. I'm a little concerned that the ones that had not been dug yet, the ground's going to be so wet, it's going to take a long time before we can get the equipment in to dig them. And the longer you leave them in after they mature, more of the nuts fall off in the ground when you're trying to dig them up. So I can't give you a number. on how much damage, but it's going to be damaged to particularly, I would say, cotton and peanuts. On the commodity side, we've had reports of poultry houses being blown down. A lot of trees blown over, fences, sheds, houses, a lot of damage. I can say that I know right now Farm Bureau Insurance has received over 2,100 claims. We expect that to go to probably 3,500, and we are expecting losses in the $70 to $75 million, and that's just Farm Bureau Insurance. I have no idea how big that number is going to be, but it would be in the hundreds of millions of dollars for the state of South Carolina. So we've got a lot of work to do, and we are still in the middle of assessing just how much damage we have.
When disaster strikes, you can't just stop. I mean, the work still needs to get done. You're on the calendar. You still have deadlines to make. Help us understand that even after a hurricane, farming must go on.
Yeah, and if you don't mind, I'm going to make sure people understand, before any of these storms hit, we were already in a terrible place in agriculture, not only in South Carolina, but the whole Southeast, because we have seen huge increases in our input costs, from fuel to fertilizer to interest rates, and we have seen a huge decline in the price of our commodities that we are selling. So it's not like this is the only event that we've had to deal with this year. At one point in South Carolina, we have 46 counties, and all 46 of those counties were designated drought areas. So we've had issues with drought. Then we had Hurricane Debbie, who came through, and she did some damage. Then on top of that, we have this storm coming through, and it's just been like a cascading waterfall of all of the negative things that we've had to go through, and this is just kind of the culmination of all of that. So it's a tough time for agriculture.
And now producers in the Carolinas are looking at cotton, corn, trees, and poultry houses flattened by Hurricane Helene. Harry Ott is the president of the South Carolina Farm Bureau. And before Harry, we heard from North Carolina Farm Bureau President Sean Harding. Both organizations rebuilding after the storm. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Put and continuing with the harvest because the weather is so nice. Everybody, including the cows, enjoying it at World Dairy Expo.
Yep, very excellent weather. I don't know how many fields of beans I saw being taken off or just freshly taken off yesterday driving around. Everybody was at it.
Yeah, well, they're so dry. That's the other report we're getting is so dry that they're actually shattering if you're not careful. So I get it. I understand. You want to keep plugging along. Now, there does look like there's a sliver of a chance of precipitation coming into Wisconsin. What, maybe tonight?
Yeah, very late today in far northwest Wisconsin overnight for most of us, not going to amount to much of anything. A little sprinkle, a brief little shower, if it is seen. There's a cool front already pushing all about through the northwest third of the state. That pushes away from southeast Wisconsin late today. No rain in Wisconsin, some activity out in the north South Dakota border and up into Canada. I don't expect the rain to be much of anything. We cool off a bit for Friday. Another small rain chance. It's late Saturday or Saturday night again. Not much. Some sprinkles, less than a tenth of an inch. And temperatures on that little roller coaster, but just above and maybe a little below normal right through good part of next week. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Fire up the grills. Gather around the table and build a bigger appetite for pork. Celebrate National Pork Month by making pork the MVP of your tailgate. Every bite of pork you and your family enjoys comes from farmers who take pride in raising a wholesome, high-quality product. Learn more about how farmers are committed to raising animals the right way by visiting WPPA.org. While you're there, check out recipes and where you can source local pork. Brought to you by Wisconsin's Pig Farmers.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Farmers deal with a lot, including long days, stress, and fatigue. This is your reminder to take breaks, stretch, have a snack, and hydrate your body. Avoid farm accidents by keeping yourself healthy. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn how Rural Mutual supports Wisconsin farmers and prioritize safety on the farm.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Boy, yeah, that's for sure, Stu. We could use a break just to rest up a little bit. Doesn't look like it's necessarily coming soon.
No, I don't expect it'll do that. Let's look for sunny skies today, and I expect in southern Wisconsin we push back toward the mid-70s, and the far northwest looking toward Park Falls, maybe a sprinkle late today in only upper 60s. West winds will become more north, even northeast through the day at about 5 to 10. Mostly cloudy then, those sprinkles are a very slight chance of a shower tonight across the state. Skies even clearing in the west already late. We drop to around 50, although close to 40 in the far northwest with a northeast breeze. Sunny skies on Friday, only in the mid and upper 60s. Northeast breezes 5 to 10. And sunny Saturday, Pam, back in the mid 70s with the southeast wind even gusting to 20 or 30. Late Saturday night, another sprinkle possible. And then sunny and drying out right through a good part of next week.
Wow. It just incredible. I figured by now we'd start talking frost or, you know, we'd see measurable rain. We'll just keep gliding along, huh?
That's all we can do. Park Falls may get frosty even toward early tomorrow, but everybody else is going to be pretty mild.
All right, good enough. Thanks, buddy. We'll catch up with you tomorrow.
All right, see you then.
Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist with weather details you're looking for. Talk text line is open. If you want to chime in, let me know how it's going. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
CBS News special report. Donald Trump is speaking out after a newly unsealed filing cites fresh evidence he was not covered by immunity when he tried to reverse the 2020, allegedly tried to reverse the 2020 election results. The former president tells News Nation.
They rig the election and then they go around getting people and persecuting people and prosecuting people that did nothing wrong.
Tennessee officials investigating owners of a plastics factory in Irwin where 11 workers were swept away in flooding from Hurricane Helene. Two died, four are missing. Employee Robert Jarvis survived.
These people were like my family. We worked together every day. They just left us to die.
A pretrial hearing in New York today for the former U.S. Marine accused of killing a man on a city subway. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
The prosecution does not have to prove that Penny intended to kill Neely with a chokehold, only that he was acting in a reckless manner.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Kamala Harris is holding on to a four-point lead over Donald Trump in Wisconsin in the latest Marquette Law School poll. She leads 52% to 48% with both registered and likely voters. The margin of error is 4.4%. In the U.S. Senate race, Tammy Baldwin leads Eric Hovde by 7 points, also with registered and likely voters alike. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is asking people not to burn leaves and brush this week. Brittany Merlot explains why.
There's an increased chance of fire danger this week due to the dry weather, gusty winds, and dry vegetation, all ahead of a strong cold front. Burning brush and leaf piles is the number one cause of wildfires in Wisconsin. I'm Brittany Merlot.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers face elimination tonight. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Brewers will play the Mets today in Game 2 of the best-of-three wildcard round. Yesterday, the Mets defeated the Brewers 8-4, retiring the final 17 batters to take the win. Willie Adames says the Brewers know it's all on the line tonight.
We are undaunted. We're going to come out and give the 100% out there on the field. And, you know, I mean, we got to win or we go home. So the mentality is we got to win no matter what. We got to figure out a way to win and, you know, do our best.
First pitch is after 6:30 p.m. If the Brewers win, they'll play a decisive Game 3 tomorrow evening. The Green Bay Packers will try to bounce back this week as they play the L.A. Rams on Sunday after losing last weekend to the Minnesota Vikings. Kickoff this Sunday against the Rams is after 3 p.m. on Sunday. The Milwaukee Bucks announced their 2024 training camp roster on Monday. Camp begins tomorrow for the Bucks. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Mostly sunny today, our high right around 71 this afternoon. The wind out of the north to northeast at 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy, will drop to 56. Tomorrow, sunshine 68. Then on Saturday, mostly sunny with a high of 73. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
Terrible, terrible. I mean, you knew he was going to burn you.
You've been following along on social media, all the activity at World Dairy Expo. My team has done an amazing job. Welcome back, everybody. Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke with you on a Thursday. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Of course, the granddaddy of the dairy shows continues today. It'll wrap up tomorrow afternoon about 4 o'clock with the naming of the Supreme Champion. And we're doing our red letter best to try to make sure that we're taking you along for the ride. Midwest Farm Reporter, Fabulous Farm Babe on Facebook, also posting on our Instagram account, Midwest Farm Report. So please do tap in once in a while and see what's going on at World Dairy Expo. More on that show in just a moment. But first, I remind you, today is the third day of October. On this day back in 1995, O.J. Simpson was acquitted in the killings of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman. That happened on this day back in 1995. Happy birthday to singer Judge Gwen Stefani. It's her birthday today. The Reverend Al Sharpton, American minister, talk show host, and activist, also celebrating his day. And now you know. What you may not know is one of the highlights at World Dairy Expo is unveiling the center ring. Center of the Dane County Coliseum is transformed into a place where the elite dairy cattle will walk and a whole lot of photographers will be snapping pictures. But it takes a lot to transform the theme, which this year is the Golden Years, into something visual that visitors are going to be looking at all week long. Charity Seebecker tells us how it all happens.
As cattle gracefully move across the vibrant colored shavings, attendees enjoy their grilled cheese, soaking in the excitement of this week's events. It's easy to take in the sights and the flavors, but what most people don't see is the hard work behind the scenes. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report, and Corinne Engelke, creative director for Event Essentials, says that from detailed designs to long hours of setup, it is taking a dedicated team to get the show ring ready for this moment.
So it's about a year-long process. Once the year prior ends, those decisions for the next year's theme at that time should have been made or are made. And then we start talking about how we can bring that to, you know, fruition or to life in a visual aesthetic form in that ring to help complement the that year's design.
And take me through your role within that design then. Are you the one that gets to be like, oh, I think this would look really good to match the design and bring it to life? Or are you kind of helping others bring their designs to life? Kind of what does that look like for you?
Right. Yes, I am here to help bring others' visions to life. So it's lots of good collaborating. I like to think of myself as a tool to be able to, like, again, just, you know, what are the thoughts? What are the desires? What are the needs? What's going to look best in those photos? Because we know it's all about those great shots with the cattle, and then help facilitating that into the physical form.
And so take me through them, what it was like this year preparing, helping to bring those to life. Was there any maybe trials or errors, fun stories? Kind of really take us through how this year has been for you to get to make this ring look like what it looks like today.
Sure. So once we've got our decisions, you know, there's always fine tuning up until the week of, and then you get into that show ring and you pray that your plan comes together the way that you want it to. But the stage area, for example, this particular year, there is a truss system that needed to be built on the ground, and we needed to raise that with a lift to get that 20 feet off the ground. There's this beautiful hand-painted backdrop. It's a 20 by 40 foot size. We added some like bling curtains to it. There is some nice lighting to accent everything. And then those famous cows that sit on the stage, those get painted and placed where they need to be. And we bring in, I think it's maybe about 200 moms in the show ring alone. And you'd think that would be a fairly easy task to figure out where all those moms go, but that in itself is a little bit of a process. Lots of great helping hands to do a lot of moving around and fine-tuning.
And speaking of that, it does take quite the manpower in order to make that possible. Do you have a rough estimate of just how many people helped to make this possible?
I can speak to the pieces that I have been a part of. I will admit that that's not the full picture of the show ring, but we usually have about 20 at least in there between our Badger Dairy Club students that help, and then some of the additional hired professionals, quite frankly, such as myself, as an exterior event professional, AV professionals that come in and help with that lighting and so forth. So it's many, many hands for probably about three days, start to finish.
And do you get to help choose the shaving color from your deer? I think that's always what everybody wants. You know, it's the anticipation to see what color it is. Do you get any insight into that?
Yeah, unfortunately, I do not, or fortunately, do not have any say in those shavings. I do get privy to it earlier on because we need to know to make sure the rest of the design works out. But yeah, that's kept on the lowdown.
And what doesn't the general public know or realize about what it takes to get that ring to be ready for all of these cattle to come through behind the scenes leading up to it?
Probably the blanket statement of putting anything on until you've done it, it's too difficult to understand what it does take. And kind of like you've implied, it's not a, you know, flip of a switch. It does take many hours of planning. It takes lots of heavy lifting, hours of, you know, moving shavings around, pushing that dirt to where it needs to be, that goes down first, getting the stage put up, the backdrop, all of the many, many things that I'm sure I'm not even aware of. But yeah, there's a lot that goes into it.
And with that, for this year, how many hours did it take you guys to put this design up for what's in there right now?
They gain access, they being World Dairy Expo, I believe gains access on Wednesday to the grounds Thursday. We were finishing, I think they were finishing dropping dirt, and then we started doing the stage. So we've got Thursday, Friday, Saturday by noon, that bad boy needs to be ready. So it's a solid 2.5 to 3 days worth of work to get the show ring prepared.
That's Corinne Engelke, creative director for Event Essentials, along with us. Behind the scenes, this dedicated team's hard work truly shines, making sure that every detail is perfect for those cattle and you attendees. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
The latest and the greatest in the global dairy industry comes to World Dairy Expo, October 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. This year, World Dairy Expo celebrates the golden age of dairying, just as sound and Technicolor technologies ushered in the golden age of film in Hollywood. So too have modern technologies propelled the global dairy industry. Learn more from around the world when you attend. For tickets, visit worlddairyexpo.com.
I confess, I love to host a party. I love having people over. But when they come over, I want to leave a favorable impression with them, not just with the atmosphere, but the food. Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke here for Bavaria Sausage. So I went to Scott and I said, listen, I need something for a pretty good sized group in my backyard. And he set me up with their Berkey Brats. Now, I've talked about these before, but my guest talked about them through the whole event, telling me, man, Pam, these are great brats. Something different about these brats. They were asking me all kinds of questions, and I was happy to tell them what I knew about all the custom mixes that are being worked on right now at Bavaria Sausage. Now listen, you can experience the Berkey Brats yourself, but you've got to go to the retail location right now. Corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday 9 until 1, or shop all the great Bavaria Sausage flavors online. BavariaSausage.com, and get ready to amplify any event you're hosting. Bavaria Sausage.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story Contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
Wow, our Wisconsin dairies did very, very well in the 40th annual World Forage Super Bowl contest. This is where farms from across the United States send in their hay samples, their bale slices. They'll send in corn silage, basically the feed that dairies rely on for their cows. Then it goes through a quality analysis, and the numbers decide who the winners are. This year, 207 entries from across the United States. The grand champion, forage producer, Meadowbrook Dairy Farms, the Koppelman folks up in Manitowoc, named the Grand Champion Forage Producer. For their efforts, they picked up a $2,500 check. Some other Wisconsin dairies also did very, very well. The Grand Champion Baleage winner, first place to Nettleman Farms in Bangor. The Grand Champion Grass Hay, first place there. Chokas Dairy up in Thorpe. And the Grand Champion BMR Corn Silage Sample came from Cecil, Wisconsin. First place there, Horsens Homestead Dairy. Congratulations to all. Well, markets and overnight electronic trade could use a little good news, I'm afraid. We'll be talking more about the dairy market specifically with Bryce Windecker, a dairy farmer himself in upstate New York and also a member of the EverAg team. In overnight electronic trade this morning, Dow Jones Industrial Average is down. So is December corn, down a penny, currently at 431. November soybeans are down 9 right now at 1047. December wheat, 4 cents lower, currently at 611 a bushel. Dairy complex, yesterday, barrel cheese gained just 0.75 cents to 215 and a quarter. 40-pound block cheese, that was down 5 1/4 at 202 and 3/4. The AA butter dropped 7 on Wednesday to 268 a pound. Time for a quick break. Up next, Bryce Windecker, broker analyst with EverAg out of New York State, joining us live to break down what's going on in the dairy market. Stand by.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Team, and we want to talk a little bit about some of this developing stories out of the Ukraine and what's going on in Israel. A lot of global unrest this morning, Bryce said, ultimately could have an impact on our agricultural markets, especially energy, huh?
Yeah, absolutely, Pam. Good morning. Israel is in a fight with the terrorist group Hezbollah, and they invaded Lebanon. And now Iran is getting involved, and things are definitely getting spicy, you could call it, over in the Middle East. Crude oil prices have shot back up over $70 a barrel, kind of a crucial make or break point. You know, we were down around $67, and fuel is about 10 to 15 cents off of its low. So still at relatively cheap levels, but definitely something to watch out for. And then, you know, on top of that, Russia has attacked Ukraine and very, very close to Romania, you know, kind of on a key NATO border there, you know, so definitely a lot of global unrest causing not only energy markets to increase in value, but grain markets to increase significantly as well.
Which grain trade are we most seeing most of the action?
I mean, it is definitely a flurry of them, but mostly wheat yesterday, you know, up nearly 20 cents across the curve between the global unrest and in the eastern part of the world and a dry weather in Australia causing wheat markets to really rally quite a bit from a futures perspective. But then here at home, at least on our East Coast side from New York City all the way down around to the Gulf of Mexico there and New Orleans, every port is on strike right now, causing a lot of issues there as far as the movement of products and whatnot. Grain won't be as much of a affected quite as much because it's more the goods in the containers, not so much the barges, but it certainly can have some effect the longer it goes on here.
Mm-hmm. Bryce Windecker joining us live this morning from New York. He is a member of the broker analyst team at EverAg. I remind you about their website, ever.ag. Let's come back to your strength area, Bryce, and that is dairy. We have seen a pretty fast erosion on our barrel and black cheese price. What's happening there?
Yeah, the barrel price did finally catch a little bit of a bid yesterday at about 215 and a quarter. So I would expect that to be relatively supported considering how tight we were. But there has been a lot of block cheese. You know, when a lot of manufacturers are able to switch between hard Italian and cheddar cheeses, and when the price of cheddar cheese got so high, you know, a lot of these places were converting, but you know, back to that. And now we're seeing that product come for sale again. But with global prices being the way they are and our seasonality heading into the fall time here, I would say we probably have another 2 to 4 weeks of support here before we need to really go discount to win some export business heading into the off season, I'll call it.
Mm-hmm. How is our supply situation looking? I think since last we spoke, Bryce, didn't you guys get a cold storage report?
Yeah, the cold storage report showed more cheese than we expected, but still down significantly from last year, about 4 to 5%. So not an abundance out there, but definitely starting to show some cracks in the armor, you know, but the highs are most definitely in, you know, there's no reason for us to go back to, you know, $24 class three milk by any means.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned last week that when we switch calendars going from September to October, that can change the momentum in the marketplace mentally, if not business wise.
Yes, absolutely. All of these end users will be buying off of the September cheese average price, and those prices were announced yesterday with barrels coming in at 233 and then the blocks at about 220. So that's going to definitely turn a lot of end users off from buying more than they need. That is for sure. There's more cheese capacity coming online in the Midwest as we had it in November, and that's what has me, you know, worried about the market as we need to, you know, find new homes, you know, for that new product.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, we appreciate you getting up and helping us out this morning, Bryce. Always good content, and like you said, kind of evolving news globally that could still impact a lot of our agricultural products. Have a good day, my boy. We miss you at World Dairy Expo.
Thanks, Pam. Enjoy.
Yep, you bet. Bryce Windicker joining us live this morning from his dairy farm in New York State. He is one of the members of the EverAg team. They're out at World Dairy Expo as well. Ever.ag is their website. I'm on my way out to World Dairy Expo. We'll see you there later today.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Farmers are business people. We're reminded of that today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
The lifestyle part of farming is fine, but first and foremost, it's a business. So says Tim Glenn, Executive VP for Corteva's Seed Business Unit.
Farmers are not in it for the lifestyle. And sometimes I think outside of agriculture, it's easy to sit there and talk about lifestyle, and they like that rural lifestyle, and farmers aren't very serious business people. But I can tell you, whether you're a large operator, most sophisticated growers in the U.S. or Canada or Brazil, or whether you're at that entry level, they're all thinking about their business and whether it's about how they can grow their operation, the margins, and what they have to take to market.
Operationally, says Glenn, farmers are very business and finance oriented.
Farmers are outstanding economists, and farmers make good resource allocation decisions, and that's really what it's all about. Farmers don't do dumb things, or they're not farmers for very long, and they're able to manage risk and handle uncertainties that normal people can't handle.
Glenn says farmers face challenges from weather, resource scarcity, and with pest and disease pressures.
I do believe that technology is going to solve most of our problems. And when you look at the course of the past 100 plus years of agriculture, technology has solved most of those challenges. And we need all the tools available to make that happen.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
The backseat. Check the backseat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly, so get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.